Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Yeah, me. Turn that down.
I know what you mean.
Rob, that's a true story, man. I was going to, if you hadn't played that, I was going to play
it.
Get out of here. I saw Kamala Harris dancing in Pennsylvania today, and I fell in love. You see Kamala dancing in Pennsylvania, man.
When she dancing in the rain?
It's not rain. Dancing in the rain, man.
What were they playing when she was down?
Is that Beyonce? Beyonce or something? I didn't know the song. I heard it before. But she was jamming.
Put a bank. All the single ladies in the house. Were you singing all the single ladies?
But that wasn't the song of that sounded like. I think you heard the same song.
That's the only one I know.
Well, it was beautiful. It was such a contrast to what we're experiencing now with the present situation.
Well,
and since we're on that, I'm scared, man. I'm really scared. I need to know what Trump is right now. Because Obama just burned him, just skinned him.
Boy,
I know he's somewhere. Huh?
Did y'all see that? Obama took the sheet off Trump and just whipped him in front of the world.
Didn't take his sheet off, did he?
I mean, I have not seen anything like it.
I'm scared. Where is it? I need to know where he is.
The line I like the most, he said, he talked about how Trump had inherited this great economy.
Right.
He said, but just like everything else he inherited, he screwed it up. I mean, you know, because you know he inherited millions and billions and had probably about a half billion as a child. They just say, just like this economy, everything else he's inherited, he screwed it up.
You know what? What really got? I'm gonna tell you what kind of got under his skin though when he cracked on his ratings. Is this not reality? So this is reality. He's in the rating. He doesn't have good ratings.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did, man.
Yep.
He's trying to.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did, man.
He's always taking. See, he tried to take credit for the things that he inherited, but ignored the pandemic that you know that he needed to take care of. You know, things like that. He really went after this.
He said he had what did he say about Beijing Barry? He said he had done what?
Yeah. He talked about now Trump has an account over there in China. They found out he has a bank account in China where he probably paid more taxes in China than he did in America. So can you imagine if I had an account in China? They would call me Beijing Barry.
Did Obama go there?
He went there, man.
And he went He went up and down that Trump's behind. I mean,
no, he didn't.
He did it. I mean, he just can't take it anymore, man. Nobody can take this, man. Nobody can believe it. Nobody can believe it. You know, anybody that knows anything about politics, about society, about human rights, about justice, about the way the federal government should work, they're having a hard time right now.
Here's what
man has made a mockery. He's made a mockery of the world and all of America, you know. And he just basically he had to tell it. He talked about all the different things that these different whether it's the educational system, whether it's the environmental aspects of the government, he talked about how all of them were supposed to be functioning and how Trump has brought in these lobbyists or people who are just doing anything, not even caring anything about what their job description is supposed to be. They're just serving their own interests. Yeah.
Room color.
Yeah.
In spite of all of that, he has a solid 40% of the country's backing and
absolutely.
About 18% of the black men.
Man, I ain't no black.
And you know what else? You know what else? He has even higher that worries me. I'm gonna tell you another high percentage that he should not have nowhere near. No one from the Latinx community should even be looking Trump's way. He has separated the families, and we recently received this report where about over 500 children would never find their parents after the separation. If the Latinx community and the black community came together in Florida, Florida would not even be in his reach.
Well, this is what I'm going to say. Brother.
That was
brother,
the campaign right there. They took Florida. If the Latinx community, and I hope you're listening out there, anybody who's working with, talking with our Latinx brothers and sisters, please listen to me. If you need to call me to get some facts, my number is 919-939-6311. We will run down the facts. We'll get away from fiction and the reality TV show and come down to reality.
I don't know what kind of reality show is out there. I don't see anything but I can't imagine why they're doing it. You can't explain that.
Leon.
Just like you can't explain it to black men. Any black man who is for Trump you can't explain that.
Hey, Joseph, how you doing, Leon? This is Joseph.
Hey, Joseph, how you doing, brother?
Leon, how y'all
doing?
What's
going on, Robert? Wasting your time.
Hey, Joseph, what's happening, bro?
Curtis, Robert, Joseph, how do we done say, hey, now, look, you're wasting your time fooling with people who saying they're going to vote for Trump, who are confused. Anybody that confused, please use your time doing something else. Please. Find somebody whose mind is blank.
Curtis, what a lot of people
are blank minds out.
A lot of people are overlooking. Trump is a mind control artist, and what mind control artists do, they can control the minds. People that have weak minds, and it doesn't matter whether you can be a professional person or you can be an ordinary laborer or a teacher or a college professor. If you have a weak mind, somebody like Trump can take over your mind and control it, just like they did down in Waco, Texas, and, of course, and everybody's familiar with Jim Jones in Guyana. Everybody is confused with that. And see, and I'm going to tell you what, and I'm going to tell you the key phrase that Trump said that got all these people in line. When he said, "I can shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and not leave any, not lose any support." When he said that, the message that was going to those people was, no matter what I do, you cannot leave me. You cannot stop shooting me. That was the message.
And
that
even if the person I shoot is your mom or your sister, even if the person I shoot is closely related to you, you still have to support me.
You have to support me. And that was and what I'm saying is, and people with weak minds, because keep in mind, I mean, psychologists have known for years there's a certain percentage of the population that can be hypnotized. Everybody can't be hypnotized.
I haven't experienced being hypnotized, but I've experienced being in a room with a hypnotist and 1,200 people. And at least 300 of those people became hypnotized right before my very eyes.
Exactly right. See what I'm saying?
People standing right beside me were under the control of a hypnotist standing on stage. And I knew they weren't faking.
Right. And I was at a meeting once, and there was a guy, this guy hypnotizing, and I'm sitting there listening to everything the guy telling this man, but it wasn't fazing me at all. But what I'm saying is, see, that's what Trump has done to these people, because if you notice, most of these people that are following Trump, now, then they just like, for example, now, a lot of people in Congress and a lot of people in the business world, of course, they have their own motives for supporting Trump, just like there are certain conservative agendas that they want to get across. And, of course, these people that are billionaires, and they want to cut their taxes, and of course, it's a monetary thing. But there's just these average people out here on the street that have nothing to gain by supporting Donald Trump. It's just a matter of, it's just this certain percentage of the population that has a weak mind that can be controlled, and they can be hypnotized by our con artists. And we've seen it happen.
Let's use another word for weak mind.
What do you want to call them? They're crazy.
No. I'm just trying to say it's obviously a condition that they can't help. And I don't want to just write people off as being weak-minded.
Actually, there is something they can do to help.
Let's be nice.
I don't think it has to be that way. It's a different thing for people who are in need of. You know, we all need mental health to an extent, but that's not the same as some people who. I think this can be. I don't think it has to be this way. That people would have to be that gullible. If people would just study, people would read, people would prepare themselves and be able to distinguish when someone is deviating from fact, deviating from truth, deviating from things you know. And I've seen it inside of organizations. I work in civil rights organizations. The sad thing about it is when it happens there, when you have people who can just deviate from facts, deviate from known policies, deviate from known training, and they can do it. And people act like wherever they decide to take it, to whatever level, is okay. And so it's a problem. And I think we as a community need to have an open discussion about it, because you know it's going to determine whether or not we are ultimately liberated. Because if you continue to have people whose minds are so gullible, that they can be manipulated to such an extent. Even those of us who are trying to do the right thing, these people will be the very ones to turn against you and try to kill you, because they're under the spell of trying to protect the hypnosis or the person who is the cult leader, rather than
right.
the person that or the people who are trying to do justice based upon the facts and based upon the need to be free.
Another issue we have these evangelicals. And see, these evangelicals, they profess. Now, keep in mind that these people say that they have religion, but see, they're
right.
not looking at religion the same way that we look at religion.
Right.
We look at our religion as, you know, whether we are Buddhists or Muslims or Hindus or Christian or whatever the case may be, we look at our religion as how we connect with God. But
right.
these so-called But these evangelicals, they are not trying to connect with God. They are using religion to get across a specific agenda that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with spirituality. And a lot
right.
of people need to recognize
right.
that. And see, now
here's the deal with evangelicals or anything.
Pardon me?
Christian. Here's the thing with evangelicals, Christians, or whatever. If they're white supremacists, they have a white supremacist agenda. Whether they're evangelicals or Catholics or whatever, they put a religion aside, and their first thing is to be white supremacist. So
exactly right. See,
they don't pay attention to the principles of those religions.
But see, the thing what you have to understand is, you can be religious about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just like religion does not necessarily mean how you connect with God, but religious about what you have a zeal for example. Just like these
mm-hmm.
people, they have a zeal for Donald Trump. You know, some people just have a zeal for the idea of white supremacy, and of course that can be their religion. But
yeah,
keep in mind the same people that crucified Jesus, these were so-called the spiritual leaders of that day. Because keep in mind,
right.
Christianity didn't exist. But these people, and a lot of times I think these people, they hide under the cover of religion, of course, assuming that everybody believes that when they're talking about religion, they're talking about Christianity, or one of the established religions that people use to connect with God. But these people, they have their own agenda. And, of course, and they just leave the rest of us just to be naive and not understand what they are actually doing. These people have no
right.
good intention about them, even though they might call themselves a Baptist or a Methodist or whatever the case may be. But that's not what they are. That's not what they are doing. It's like Jesus said, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. So these
right.
and see, you know, weak-minded people, see, they can't get into it that deep to understand that these people are using religion to get across a specific agenda that has nothing to do with bettering them, the people that's following them.
Man,
and Joseph, that is why all the wrong people have these major networks. You have racists like Pat Robertson, and you have these people who are, I guess they assume they are trying to be neutral. And you know what Dr. King said about the neutral? When you're a neutral, you've taken the side of the oppressor, I think. You know, but we have these so-called evangelicals and these televangelists and these people who are reaching the masses, and the system, they're very selective about how they allow certain so-called Christian leaders or televangelists or evangelicals have the audience of the masses. And see, these people who are having the audience of the masses, they're not teaching about Jesus Christ and his words and what Jesus's positions were on most of these issues. If we did, we would already know that Donald Trump belongs in jail right from the beginning. And we know that anybody who's a true Christian would know not to listen to Donald Trump, because one thing Jesus said, the main thing about religion is that truth, the truth shall make you free. You have to worship God in spirit and in truth. And he talked about how lies have come from the devil. And so if they really knew religion and were really being introduced to Jesus Christ, and if these televangelists and these other people who have so much access to the ears of the people would actually speak truth, we wouldn't have the problem that we're having. But a lot of these so-called ministers and evangelicals who are getting the ears of the masses, it's based upon validation from the power structure.
Check this out, guys. Trump is in North Carolina right now. I'm looking at this guy, and there's a poster behind Trump with a T-shirt on that says "Black for Trump." Guys, right quick,
what
are
you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Check this out. Help me. Can you give me one reason? Please be as objective as you can. One reason a black person would vote for Trump. Just try me. Be objective. Just be as objective as possible. Say if I had to, if that is the way I can find a reason to vote for Trump, what would it be? You're black.
I can
right
say this with all sincerity. I can say this
right
with all sincerity.
The T-shirt on it says "Black for Trump." Now she has.
I can say with all sincerity, anyone who's supporting Trump, they're either hypnotized, they're misinformed, or they're racist. A racist, and even racist. Have been hypnotized because Trump offers nothing to poor whites. He offers absolutely nothing to poor whites. So even that is a part of the hypnosis. So I think it boils back down to, I mean, I can't see any reason. None.
I'm Ed Curtis, Leon Robert. I can only think of one reason. I can only think of one reason why a black person would support Donald Trump. I can think of a reason.
Let's hear it.
Y'all want to hear it?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, bro.
The only reason that I can think of that a black person would support Donald Trump is that they want America destroyed. They want America destroyed because of the egregious acts that America has allowed to happen to the black people in America. That's the only reason I can think of, is that they want America completely destroyed. Now, of course, I'm not of that belief. I believe that we can heal America. I believe that America can come to its senses and start treating black people, you know, with equality and fairness and justice. I believe that. And of course, when we elected Barack Obama as the first black president, I felt like we were on the path to do that. But having said that, the only reason a black person would support Donald Trump that would make any logical sense at all is it that they want America destroyed, because that is exactly what Donald Trump is doing. He is destroying this country.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, man.
There's a tight race in North Carolina. They say the race between Trump and Biden is a tight race in North Carolina. That's scary. That's disappointing. Let me just put it that way. But anyway, Robert, do you have any thoughts on that?
The tight race in North Carolina?
No. Trump and why a black person would vote for Trump. If you can find any reason in your head, please share it with me.
Well, we've seen several celebrities, rappers, the lady that was nodding behind Trump during his town hall, the lawyer, what's her name, Maya or something. I think they're under this illusion that they have interests that supersede the greater good of their family, their community, their country, and their planet. I think it's rather selfish. I would say that about anybody, whether it's a black Trump supporter or white Trump supporter or anybody else. When you let your selfish interests, I want to say self-interest, but it's really your selfish interest, supersede, as Joseph said. You don't care about your family. You don't care about your community. You don't care about your country. You don't care about the planet. But just because you can get a tax break, just because you can carry your little cap pistol, your gun, just because of this item or that item, you willing to throw away everything that you should hold dear just to get your own little selfish interest. And because you know that Donald Trump can probably deliver that selfish interest. I would like to say that they maybe have a missing chromosome or they're mentally deranged. I mean, that's too easy. I want to try to get into their really mindset, that what is it that makes you feel, first of all, that Trump is going to deliver it? That he's not a king. It has to go through Congress. Senate has to approve it in most cases. There's a Supreme Court. In many cases, he has not delivered what he has promised. Matter of fact, in most cases, he hasn't. Now, he has some sycophants up in Congress who are pretty much rubber stamping just about everything he says. But even with that, he is not going to be able to deliver to these folks who are thinking that he is going to reach down out of his own selfish interest and focus on your little selfish interest. You are delusional. I hate to put it so bluntly. You are delusional.
I'm going to tell you something that I think Obama said that I think also could kind of like fit into this discussion. You know, Obama said this, and I think this is something everybody should think about. He said most people who run for reelection, most presidents, or people who actually run were asked, have you been better off over the past 4 years? And he said the only people who can say they are better off over the last 4 years are billionaires, people who benefited from that 2017 Tax Break and Jobs Act that took place, where for the first time in America, you had the richest 1% to pay less taxes than anybody else on the totem pole, or whether they benefited from that CARES Act, that the so-called relief package that they passed, where about $174 billion went to tax breaks for the rich. The richest 400 people in America benefited the most. So if you're in that bracket, then it's possible to say, you know, Trump might have benefited me. But like we've heard, you know, that is a very narrow mind when you're looking at a person that's lying to you every day, that's putting every other imaginable health challenge, everything that you could be looking forward to as part of a child or a survival for the next generation or the next 20 years or 30 years, you're putting all that on the line for a tax break. You know, it's just absurd.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that I do believe, like Curtis said, yes, Trump will deliver for that 1%. But we're talking about people who are in dire straits. We're talking about people who living in trailers. We're talking about people who are out here walking around not even knowing if they're going to have a job tomorrow.
Right.
They're supporting Trump out of some twisted logic, some twisted
right.
belief that somehow he's going to save them. It goes back to when I think about Nazi Germany and I think about Hitler, Adolf Hitler, one of the first people he hired was a guy named Goebbels. He was a propaganda specialist. And he knew that he was not going to be able to persuade most Germans using plain language. So he brought in somebody who specialized in propaganda, who could twist the facts, who could distort the truth. In Trump's case, he is that person. He is Hitler and Goebbels rolled into one, which makes him particularly dangerous.
Right, right.
I'm sad about people that, like I said, I'm looking at these guys up here at the front rally on TV now. They all packed in there like COVID was not even good. Trump's lied about that continuously, hitting the facts about it, hitting and distorted the facts about it continuously. people dying continuously from COVID. I just don't know. I've never seen anything like
that. Leon.
Yeah.
And brothers, another thing too is this is why I have a problem with any black people or who are supporting Trump is because his presidency is this coming after black lives in so many ways that would commit mass murder to black people. Whether you're looking at how he is provoking dangerous racist white supremacists, whether he's
mm-hmm.
taking insurance and trying to do away with Obamacare, whether he's looking the other way for a pandemic that's killing black people disproportionately, no matter which way direction you look, I mean, there is no way for black people to intelligently justify supporting. There are just so many ways of mass murder that's taking place right before our eyes.
Right.
That's a good point. And that's one of the points I've been I think can't be swept under the rug is that, and this is for every black person, whether you vote for Trump or not, is that Trump is inciting racist white nationalist Klan, Proud Boys, Nazis, very violent people.
Yeah.
He is inciting
yeah.
them to exact violence on people
yeah.
of color.
Yeah.
That's undeniable. It's not even
yeah.
a dog whistle anymore. So when
he sends the message, it's happening.
They're doing it. That's right. You don't have to wait until after the election and when he loses. It's happening as we speak. It's already happening.
We just talked about the Latino community. This guy, when Trump spoke, this guy went out in El Paso, Texas. These people went out and killed over 20 Latinos and injured another 23 and committed the largest mass killing against Latinos in modern history. Right down to Walmart.
Yeah,
these
maybe
guys went out to kill the governor of Michigan, and Trump is still picking at the woman. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I don't know, man. Well, like I said earlier, we can't explain people that do stuff like that, that vote for people like that, other than they're confused.
People should be a revolution going on in this country, making sure that Trump's mess stop right here, whether he's elected or not. He shouldn't even have the option. See, I'm not a partisan politician, so I'm not into this partisan politics. My thing is Trump just happens to be a racist person that's running that should not be eligible to run. He just happens to be a politician. That's not going to stop me from speaking out against him. So somebody can say, well, he's partisan now. He's speaking against a person who's running. No, Trump happens to be a low-down person that should be under the jail that's running, and that should not stop us from speaking against him. And I would go as far as saying this: if we took the 2.3 million people that are in prison today and let them all out and release them to put Trump in their place, America would be safer.
That's true. That's Trump today, if he would do anything different about his COVID response, which has already killed 220,000 people. He said, not much.
And Obama tore him up.
Yeah, he did. He's not
Obama did a great job. Look, y'all, we had to give our hat off to Obama. Obama. He did something today that took a lot of courage.
Really did.
He did something that took a lot of courage today. He didn't have to do this to you. But he understands the time. He knows that he's dealing with a dangerous segment of the population that we're not going to be there protecting.
But you know what, Curtis?
But he
you know
went out on the line and he spoke truth today.
This is what is happening, and
it shouldn't be taken lightly.
This is what is happening. Obama is emblematic of that. Many sensible, nonpartisan, mild, cogent, thoughtful people who were had really resigned themselves to the sidelines and had just planned to just sit this one out. They were going to go vote, and they may talk among their family and friends because they felt that was really a sensible route to take.
Right.
But this is so dire.
Mm-hmm.
This is so different, like unlike anything we have ever seen. You cannot be neutral. You cannot sit on the sideline.
No.
Even I'm telling you the truth.
No.
I know Obama and Michelle had a long conversation, and they had decided they were not going to get involved in this. I could tell when Trump was elected, Obama and Michelle had made up their mind they were going to go over them in their $8 million house in Northwest D.C. and just live their life in obscurity. But these times dictate that anybody who has influence, who has a following, they have to speak out. It's that serious.
You got to speak now. I mean, this is bad as it's going to get right here until you see just people just shooting you in the middle of the streets. And we're almost to that point.
And we give women, I mean black and white women at this point, a hand who are in leadership, because women, I'm trying to tell you, man, women are stepping up the game. Women, I don't know how to say this. Yeah, I'm going to just leave it like that. Women are stepping up where men are not. Now, I'm going to say this. The fact that if it is true,
you have
true,
to say some men.
Black men.
You got to say some men.
Say that again.
You got to say some men because you got four on the phone here who are definitely don't fall in that category.
Absolutely.
And
I said that knowing you guys were listening because I know you. The ones who know better know better. The ones who know what they're doing are aware. I'm just saying, it is amazing to me to see how strong black women in leadership are and how adamant they are as far as their leadership is concerned. And let's go here, since I'm talking about this. If there are 18% of black men supporting Donald Trump, I am really disappointed. I'm really confused, very much close to being upset. Because I don't understand.
Leon,
I don't get that.
Leon. And I'm gonna give a little pushback. That means that 80% of black men do support or against Donald Trump. Just like during the 2016 election, I was dismayed as you are. I mean, I was fighting mad when I realized. I think back then it was like 13%. I thought that was bad. And now if you're talking about it, maybe get up high as 18% this time around. That's enough to make you want to fight. But what we have to do is remember that that's not the majority of black men. We still have 80% of black, and that's not enough. That's not enough. I'm mad at that 20%. I'm very disappointed.
I'm proud of the 80. I'm proud of the 80. I need the 18 to know. They need to go back to their somewhere. They need to go back to a quiet place.
Since when you started the situation, I do want to just say, two women that we really are proud, and we should be all men across the country should certainly be supporting and standing with black women who are in fact putting their necks on the line. Because if you'll notice, whenever Trump speaks, seems like the thing that he does the most that gets under my skin, and I think more men should feel the way I feel when he attacks these black women.
Oh man, I
think
feel
we're
going
to have to do more. We're going to have to do more to show our outrage when Trump is continuously attacking black women.
Absolutely.
And we can't forget that he referred to Kamala Harris as a monster. And he also called her nasty, and he has a pattern of doing that. And so my thing would be black men need to do more, and men in general need to do more to defend women when they're being attacked, especially by the highest levels of government. But go ahead.
This guy called Omarosa a dog. I have never in my life heard any man call any woman a dog with, that I could hear. I mean, I've been living for a long time. I have never heard anybody, you hear me, of all the years I've been on this earth, I had never heard anybody call anybody a dog in public.
And keep a job. And check this out. Look, y'all, listen to me, please. And this is why I'm glad you brought this up. We have to do more. I hope more men are listening. We cannot allow racists like this to call out black women when they have a following of racist domestic terrorists who are listening. Because
you
cannot just
look at
Trump and just say, well, you know, that's the way he is.
Oh,
when this guy is
break.
Calling out these black women, he is offering an invitation to assassination.
I'm going to repeat, guys. I have never in my life been in the presence of anybody who called a woman, particularly a black woman, a dog. I wait to this point in my life, and it comes from the president of the United States. I cannot emphasize that enough.
Yeah. And see,
all these years I've been on this earth, I've never heard anybody, not to my face, and as far as I know behind my back, call a woman a dog. The first time I hear it after all this time, it came from the president of the United States of America. Let that soak in for a minute.
Yep. And Robert, when we were growing up, if you recall, we could not say anything profane in our house. We couldn't say a curse word. The one thing we could say that guaranteed you a whipping if you call somebody a dog.
A dog, that's right.
if you said, you know, we might put something before a dog, everybody in the house would stop. But like you said, you heard it from the president. And Robert, these are the things that I can't forget about this president.
I can't.
And how
I can't
again,
move. I never moved beyond that. You notice every time I thought, when I start my list, that's the one thing I have not been able to move beyond.
You're right, Robert. We might need to get you therapy on that one, man.
I'm telling you, boy.
I'm trying to think of the congresswoman from Somalia.
Ilhan Omar.
Yeah. Yeah, Omar, look, this man has been picking on this woman ever since he's been in office. He has done everything he could. I think, again, he gives an invitation to assassination to these people. And they actually started carrying it out in Michigan. But I'm just saying, we cannot take these things lightly. Men, we have to protect women. Even if they don't ask us to, it just got to be something that just comes natural, especially when they're under attack, when it's so obvious. I mean, there are going to be things where that might not be clear. But when you actually hear it from the person's mouth, just like you heard from his mouth, what he said, what he does when he walk up to women. I mean, it came out of his mouth. And so I'm just saying, women are having to put themselves out here. A lot of times, and we do understand, we have to look at the reality, too. You know, a lot of men, unfortunately, we're disproportionately incarcerated due to the racist system. A lot of times, we are not looking at how black men are being targeted, because when you target black men, it makes it easier to oppress and destroy a community when you make sure you set up the black man, send him to prison, all these other things. But at the same time, we have to recognize the fact that black women, throughout our history, it's really not new. So when they do, we finally get a black woman into a position of power, you know, it's not anything against the black man. The black man shouldn't be like, oh, man, they should have gotten a man. Oh, black women have been diligent in fighting for her full community. You know, when I grew up, it wasn't a new thing for the leader to be a woman. You know, we grew up in the NAACP in Anson County, where Ada Ford Singleton was the president. You know, we saw women throughout our communities really, you know, working, doing real things. I mean, actually building the communities. And so it's not really new to me. But at the same time, we really have to make sure we not be unfair to assist to black men who are already being attacked by so many different levels of systemic injustice.
We get that, but so that's where I go back to the fact that when you have a guy like this, are the brothers, are they, is that 18 or whatever percent of the brothers, are they ignoring these facts? Are they just okay with it? Are they just strange kind of brothers? I don't know. But anyway.
It's terrible, man. But it's all right.
You know, that all stand
up. Yeah, you know, call out 50 Cent. You know, 50 Cent made an announcement today.
Yeah.
You know, and he talked about this is the kind of foolishness we're dealing with. He said he's supporting Trump because he's 50 Cent. He don't want to become 20. He don't want to become 20 Cent. But the fact of the matter is, you know, his existence of surviving the hood came through a lot of black women, black people, black men, black
social
folks had to support the trash that he was selling. He didn't get there by himself. And so for him to now feel like he's got, because of the tax break that Trump had been offering, I think he said he likes Trump's tax structure better than he liked Biden's. But, you know, that's that selfish stuff that we talked about, while ignoring the fact that you have a person who cares nothing about our community, and on so many different levels, we're being destroyed, oppressed, and actually mass murdered.
Yeah. Well,
he's trying to get you killed. He's trying to get you killed, basically. That's something else you need to marinate on for a minute. Put aside all the politics, all of the tax breaks, and whether you believe in the Second Amendment or this abortion, all of that kind of stuff. Those are discussions that's worth having. But the fact of the matter is, the President of the United States is inciting violence from very violent people. We're not talking about.
Yeah.
He's not just talking to the Sunday school teachers or the PTA. He's talking to hate groups, people who are armed to the teeth, and who are fishing for a reason to use it. And he's exciting them.
He's talking to people who probably between 1898 to 1940 lynched about 6,000 people that we know of, that would massacre a whole black community. Those are the people he's talking about.
They'll do it again, too.
It's just unfortunate that there are people alive that support Donald Trump. President Obama said today, he said, now, if it was your football, any kind, anybody in your you would expect that from your football coach, for somebody to be picking on people, or your pastor, or whatever. He just, you don't expect that from people. And so why would you expect it from the President of the United States?
He said it wouldn't even be tolerated for anybody else.
This is just
breaking up,
you know. Okay. Do I sound different? But anyway, this is bad. It's terrible that we have a guy in the office like that. And what we got earlier, Robert, maybe off the air. This guy's president 2 months.
Yeah. That's something to think about, too. He's going to be in the office 2 months after he loses. Think about that for a minute.
Imagine
what that world going to be like. What is that 2 months going to be like?
Oh, yeah.
Can't fire him. He's already
he's
fired.
Clear.
Can't fire him.
And Robert and Leon and Joseph, I think what also we saw during these past 4 years that I think we need to really, really look at and try to talk about, we might have to be going to help lead it to make it happen. But there really needs to be a whole reevaluation of the checks and balances we have here in this country. Because if Trump had been able to get away with all that he has done and keep his job, that goes to show you that we have a system that does not have the proper checks and balances in place.
The system is screwed up.
we have a serious problem.
Ineffective.
For anybody to be able to do what he has done, and there have been things put in place that could, whether they were the loopholes or whatever they found, whether it was something like blocking out people who could serve as witnesses during his hearing, or whether it's about having someone like Mitch McConnell sitting there, we found some problems in this system that need to be eradicated because we have found that we are just as gullible as any government that has a dictator or a tyrant that can come and do whatever he wants to and start killing off his enemies. We have seen that that can happen in this system that we have right here called the American government.
Well, Curtis, that just proves right. Also that the problem is bigger than Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
The problem is having a Congress that is just as bad as he is. They believe what he's doing is correct. That's the weird part. I mean, it's not weird. It's the discouraging part is that you have a Congress that's signing off on it.
Yeah. Actually mean,
and Robert, and fellas, there's just certain things that my point is there just should be certain things you cannot do. It should not take a vote. There are certain things you cannot say.
Right.
You cannot do.
Right.
You cannot kill people. You cannot do anything to turn away from a pandemic. Under those circumstances, you just have to go. It's not even taking a vote. You are putting people,
right.
If it can be shown that you're putting people's lives at risk, I mean, you just got to put the bull aside. Well, they didn't have enough votes, or they didn't have enough this, or they didn't have enough that. You can't go out and tell people, call somebody a dog or do something that would incite violence against somebody. You know, there are just so many things that are so blatantly wrong that could cause death. See, that's the thing. It's one thing about your ideology or your political thoughts, perspective, or affiliation, but this guy is doing things that can cause death.
You know, this
and no one is checking it.
This kind of stuff that a professor did, he'll be off the team.
I can barely hear you. Are you breaking up, going in and out?
Okay.
Hey, you know what? Hey, Leon. You're breaking up.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. And for anybody who think that we're over here just pushing a progressive agenda, that we're anti-Republican, anti-white, or anti-anything, remember, George Bush was the president before Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Any problem we had with George Bush had to do with his policy. He wasn't calling people dogs. Any issue we had with George W. Bush, 1 and 2, it evolved around his policy.
Right.
Unfortunately, right now, it's hard to even know what Donald Trump's policy is because he's doing so many things of calling people names and being immoral and corrupt. That's what
right.
I have the problem with. I can deal with your policy. As long as you do the checks and balances and the norms of the government, I'll just say, look, I disagree with your policy. I'll just vote you out, and we'll just live to fight another day. Unfortunately, that's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with something different.
That's what I'm saying. And this governmental structure has shown that people can get away from policy to such an extent and go after people based upon – do you know how many people this guy has actually just gone after – because he didn't like them? I mean, whether he went after their jobs, whether he went after them and tried to get them killed, or whether he went after them to try to, you know, this guy actually has just fired people. He's obstructed justice. He's done all these different things. You know what I'm saying? And it's like it's no limit. What is the difference from a dictator? I mean, you would have to kill Saddam Hussein because you say he killed his own people. And then Trump has killed more people, Americans, than Saddam Hussein could have ever imagined. He's done killed more than Bin Laden. You know, all these people that he's going out and kill.
Trump knows this, and he might play dumb, but Trump knows that when he criticizes Ilhan Omar, when he criticizes the governor of Michigan, Ms. Whitmer, he knows that he's putting their lives at risk.
Absolutely.
He knows that. He is putting these people's head on the chopping, really putting the bullseye on their forehead.
That's what I'm saying to you. That's what I'm saying tonight, brother.
These Second Amendmenters, these folks who are out here carrying these guns up to the state house, and we've seen 18 of them now are under indictment for attempting to assassinate the governor. And he still.
I'm trying to tell you. And he's still throwing stuff at her. How can we allow this? I mean, where are the
This is the president. This is the president. We're not talking about some, like the lady said, Susanna Guthrie, Savannah said, this is not your crazy uncle. This is the president.
Yep.
Think, folks.
People
think
are acting on his. Yeah, I'm telling you, everybody, wake up, America. Wake up, America. Wake up.
Put your politics aside for a minute. We can fight about the politics, about whether you're pro or for, whether you against, whether you for taxes. Let's have that in a decent forum. Let's vote it out in the polls. We're talking about something different today.
Yes, we are. This man is killing. He is killing people as we speak. He is going out. I mean, I could just preach on this. He is going out deliberately against science, deliberately against health, deliberately against the disease for the Center for Disease Control, deliberately against the World Health Organization. All these people who are experts, deliberately, and going out in the middle of a pandemic, bringing them together by the thousands, not caring if they wear a mask, not caring if they do anything on the list of protective precautionary actions that's been handed down by the experts. This guy is deliberately bringing people together in a place that could kill them, deliberately. And he knows it. And everybody, I mean, the people who are supposed to be checking and balancing, just sitting back, talking about it. How would you let one man do that?
Am I being Trump? Am I still breaking up?
Go ahead, bro.
Because these people, see, because what it is and let me say this, what he's doing is not limited to Trump supporters. It would be one thing if you want to just do something as a Trump supporter. But what these people do when they get together, they leave the event. These are the people that you have to pass down the aisles in Walmart and all these different places where people have to go to get food and different things. These are the same people. So what he's doing is not just limited to whether you decide to vote for Trump or not when he exposes people at these super spreader events that people are allowing to happen. I don't get it.
You breaking up a little bit, bro. Go ahead and say your piece. We got you.
Here's what I want to say. I asked the question earlier about whether or not or nice way to put Trump supporters, I guess. But I thought about it. I think the way to say it is they're out of touch with reality. The reality is what you guys are just saying. These guys are lousy kind of person. And he will do anything. He's a racist, fish demon. And why anybody would support him, I can't figure it out. So I think people that support him are out of touch with reality. And they can't reason why they not support him. Now, that's a sad situation to be in. But nevertheless, that is the case. That said, what we're going to have to do is reach out to all the reasonable and rational people we can find and make sure that they get out and vote. Because those rational people are caught up in their own irrational way and trying to make man this leader that they believe in, this foolish demon person that they believe in, be the president of the United States and completely destroy. Just said earlier that he believes that they want this country destroyed. And that could may or may not be the case. Probably not. I think they're just out of touch with reality. But like I say, we got to continue to do what we're supposed to do. We got to do the things we do to make this world a better place and push Curtis. Like, thank you, Curtis, for coming down here. stepping up, get our community motivated. We're going to do that all over this world. I'd like to give kudos to Black Voters Matter. That Black Voters Matter Fund, that's one of the most powerful groups I've ever been associated with. Sincere, they're doing everything that they can to make sure that the Black votes matter. Doing everything that they can to motivate Black people to vote, because that's what it's going to take. Who say that your votes matter, snap out of it. I mean, really snap out of it. We have to believe that our votes matter. And the more we vote and the more that we believe our votes matter, the more they will. That is power. That is the power we have. Because people don't pay attention to you unless you have some kind of power.
Wow.
And if you give away your power to vote, that is really more kind of sometimes that's the only power you have. Change. Because you know it takes a lot of money to make power, to make a change. Your votes,
yeah.
Your collect votes
yeah.
can make a big
vote. And thank you, Leon. Again, I really thank you. I thank all the people who are mobilizing people out to vote. We cannot underestimate that. And that is, like you said, that provides a level of hope. But what we need to understand, and for those who are saying it doesn't matter in all this, is that it was never meant to be the beginning of all and ending of all to
That's
vote.
Right.
But
That's
we
right.
need to make sure that we exercise and execute every tool in the toolbox. See, if you just look at voting as the only tool in the toolbox, then of course you might be discouraged. But we're
That's
here
right.
to say self-help, if you have a ministry, do your ministry. If you have a self-help method of mentoring, do your mentoring. If you have if you do something that specializes in economics, do your economic thing. But then we come together and we vote too.
Sure.
We vote too.
Vote for the person, that organization, or that person, or whatever that candidate that supports your. Now,
right.
That's what you pay attention to, one that supports your. I hear people keep saying the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, whatever. What people are saying. It's for that group that supports your interests. And unfortunately, a lot of people, that's what they're doing when they vote for Trump. They vote for something that supports their interests. And then if your interest is hate, I guess that's why they vote for it.
And I'm going to tell you something else, Leon. This is something I experienced. I experienced a lot of people who complain about people always marching or people who don't march. A lot of times the people talk about, we're just doing all this talking about voting, or people who don't vote. And so my thing is, you can't complain about something not working if you're not helping to fully or maximize its participation. And so we don't know if voting will work, because if 50 and 40% of us are the ones voting when it could be 90 or 80%, you never know if 90 or 80% of us started voting, what difference it might make.
Curtis, more like 30%. You're talking about people voting.
Yeah.
It's way too high.
Right. So you're helping to make my point. We have people saying it's not mattering because we are not showing up. The same when we're standing and resisting racism. If you're not resisting racism and institutional white supremacy, if you're not out there, then how do you know what will work and what will not work if we're not doing it in unity? So let's try it. Let's try every imaginable thing in the toolbox and not allow racists to have it. Because if racists don't want you to have it, I can assure you it is because they know it might impact their racism. And they do not want their racism to be impacted in a way that could eradicate their racism. So if they don't want you voting, then that's what we want to do. If they don't want you getting education, then that's what we want to do. If they don't want you building businesses, that's what we want to do. If they don't want us loving each other, then that's what we want to do.
You're sorry. Well, brothers, I need to leave y'all, man. We've been out here now.
Hey, man.
That's it,
man.
So, Robert.
Well, we love
right,
you guys, man. Thank you. Thank you, everybody,
yes,
for listening. We love you. God bless
you.
May God continue to bless you. We pray for everyone who may be facing COVID-19 or anything else that could be harmful to your health or to your existence. We love you. Thank God for you. Please keep praying for us as we pray for you.
My friend and co-worker down there, Ms. D, listening tonight. Thank you for listening. And all of the other people around the globe listening. God bless you. We'll be back to you,
man.
Amen. This is just the beginning.
Got
a lot of work. And if you can't with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with. You got to love the one you're with. You got to love the one you're with. You got to love the one you're with. Don't be angry. Don't be sad. Don't just cry. Talk about the good times. Well, there's a girl sitting right next to you. And she's just waiting for something to do. Well, there's a rose.
Could be something, but something's going. Every other word is getting, about every third word is getting dropped.
Oh, really? Man, that's bad. Okay. All
right. Bad. We'll be better next
all
week.
Right. Yes, sir. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.